Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are talking about one of the most interesting characters of the Bible, and that's Abraham.
Well, I get a kick out of him because one time when I was studying Abraham early on in my studying career, I made a graph of his life. I called it an Abergraph, and lots of ups and downs.
Well, that's one of the things that makes him interesting, because he's so real, because he's mentioned so often in the Bible. And, you know, he's so tied to the concept of faith that you start seeing him as kind of an unreal person.
In Hebrews, it talks about it's the hall of faith, you know, hall of fame for faith. And at the beginning of it, before it gets into talking about the list of people, it starts with, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. And I can't help but think of Abraham, because, you know, here he is. He didn't have any Jewish background. He was the father of the Hebrew nation. And basically, he was kind of called out of the middle of nowhere based on his relationship with God. And he had to go based on not what he was going to get, or he knew he was. It was all a promise.
Right. And that's what I was talking about, too. He's in this hall of faith. And sometimes it's easy to see people like that as sort of larger than life. Presumably kind of pretty perfect lives. But, you know, Abraham was the guy who called his wife his sister to get himself out of some trouble or things that he was afraid of.
Dirtbag.
And he did it twice. Anyway, I don't say that to list out his sins, but when you talk about the Abergraph that you made, the
ups and downs,
those things make him real to me. And Abraham, when I read about him in Genesis, he really comes alive on the pages. Weaknesses and his strengths, and to see how much he has talked about, you know, and how much it coincides with faith, it's really encouraging.
Well, that is encouraging about all the characters in the scriptures, because they were very imperfect men and imperfect women, but God continued to work. And that's basically what we're doing. In fact, I wrote this down. Because faith is central to finding eternal life, Abraham is key for the person who is searching for God. Because faith and eternity are so tied together, and no better picture of that really than Abraham himself.
Well, and just the idea of faith, just that itself is interesting, because to have faith that the world came into being out of something that we can't see, it just seems like such a huge leap. But, you know, in reality, we have faith in all kinds of things. We just don't recognize that it's faith. We just don't call it faith. We just assume that things are going to go on the same way they have.
Spiritual men and women begin with the concept of faith, because, you know, you have to place your faith in someone you have never seen. It continues as you live your life based on choices, you know, to submit to your king. And then you're hoping that what he's promised is going to come true. And that's what the life of faith, it's the whole works. It's not just a one-time
it's not a one event. Moment.
There are two books that discuss Abraham in detail. And the book of Galatians and the book of Hebrews have a lot of information. I kind of want to just talk about the general picture that's painted in each of those books when they're trying to express the nature of what happened through Abraham's life. And I'll just start with it here. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So it went to his account because he believed God. It was credited to him. This is in Galatians 3. Therefore, be sure that it is those that are justified or of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Now, what a promise. Here you are. You've had no children. You have nobody to pass on the family name. And God comes at a very late age and promises you that you're going to have a child. But years before that, he said, Abraham, you are going to become the father of a great nation.
And then no kids.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Which tells you something about God and how God works. And yet, what did God do in Abraham's life? He basically multiplied in a supernatural way. I'm sure Abraham many times looked at his story, let alone when he is faced with sacrificing his son Isaac, and thought, my life is a failure, and God
right.
and God has not followed through on what he said he was going to do.
I think these passages are so difficult to unwind sometimes. They're just hard to understand because of how they're written. But it's saying, right, that Abraham was saved, so to speak, because he believed that God was the only God, right?
Yeah, the living God.
And that's no different really than us.
No.
Okay, so then I have one other question. What did Abraham believe about God that gives him so much credit?
Well, he believed his promise. He was able to look into the future, even though life didn't necessarily go the way he was planning on it going. He believed God's promise, and that's what faith was. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen as yet. And that's the basis of faith. Mm-hmm. Now, that's true whether you're in Abraham's shoes or whether you're in our shoes looking back at Jesus Christ having come to the world, and we place our faith in someone who has come.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham wonderfully was looking forward to God's promise, but he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Mm-hmm. Pretty beautiful,
it
really.
It is pretty.
This passage in Galatians ends with, in Galatians 3, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Now, this is really interesting because it started out with the Hebrews, but the purpose of the Hebrews, if you remember when Abraham was first talked to in chapter 12 of Genesis, in you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So, all of them will be blessed in you. So those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Uh-huh. I love that being a Gentile, I still get an invitation to the kingdom.
Well, we're grafted into something mm-hmm. that God began, and grafting is, you know, just like we've been tied into the, you know, to the
grown in,
yeah,
in as fact, though it's a piece of.
We've been taken from the wild root, and we've been uh-huh. brought into the true tree that is Israel.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever recognized what you just said about. I've heard it all the time that all nations would be blessed because of him. I just wasn't thinking about Gentiles.
Yeah,
that's so silly.
Which is the rest of us.
Everybody. I don't know. I guess when I see that, I think, how did the Pharisees miss all that?
Well,
and then even later, just, you know, as the gospel was supposed to go to the Gentiles, how did even then the believing Jews resist that a little?
Well, that's the nature of believing God. Mm-hmm. I mean, when God speaks, you either believe him or you decide that, well, he really didn't mean that, or he couldn't possibly have meant that.
No.
The other book that talks a lot about Abraham and develops the idea. So if you've got a chance tonight when you go home, you know, or maybe over your lunch hour today, look up Galatians 3. But also in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, there are a bunch of, mile markers as you mm-hmm. go through the book. And I just want to go through those really quick about Abraham. What we learn from the book of Hebrews about Abraham and his faith is angels and promises. When it says, surely he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham. So we're in a totally different category than angels are. And we're in the category of Abraham, those of us who have faith in the living God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in what God is doing, we're in a totally different place.
Doesn't seem like angels need the kind of help that we need.
Well, they got the whole angelic thing going yeah. on, which God's got a plan for that too.
Which I'm interested in also.
It also says, for when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Remember back in the covenant that God made with Abraham mm-hmm. and he caused Abraham to fall into a deep sleep?
Yeah.
You know, and the sacrifices were taken. They were split into two pieces. And, you know, God passed through and he swore by himself. And that's the beautiful thing about true living faith. It doesn't rest on the faith of Abraham. It rests on the covenant mm-hmm. that God made with Abraham because Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness.
And that's the amazing thing about our faith because that's who we're putting our faith in.
Absolutely. By faith, Abraham, this is over in chapter 11, when he was called, he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going.
I know. This is amazing to me. To set out with almost no one, leaving everything he knew behind, sleeping in tents, you know, dragging everything you had everywhere you
yes.
go. I just think that would be really hard. And it would be so, it would be an arduous life, I would think. And yet believing something out there that you felt like you were always walking toward.
Well, and even through most of his life, I mean, he obviously lost his, they lost their way, mm-hmm. Israel did. And when they were brought down into Egypt, mm-hmm. There were only 70 people who came down. And 430 years later, 3 million uh-huh. men and their wives and their children and uh-huh. their servants and their, I mean, they were like the stars of the heaven uh-huh. as far as their number.
And so even though it was promised to Abraham, he didn't really get to see it, but the generations got to hear the promise and see it.
Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. Well, I'd like to wrap this whole thing up with Abraham in James chapter 2. And ask myself the question, how do my actions fit with what I believe? Because, mm-hmm. Abraham acted on his belief in God, on his connection, his commitment to God. He acted on it. And this is an important dichotomy to address because faith without works is dead.
Yes, and I think there is no one better to write about this than James. He grew up with Jesus, so he saw it all in action, but he didn't really seem like he believed until later.
Mm-hmm.
And so to write this book from the perspective of, I saw it all, I saw it lived out, and now I believe, so faith has to have action. So he got to, I mean, there just seems like he's the perfect person to talk about how the mesh of believing and acting yeah. go together.
Well, it's tough when you're a little brother.
Yeah.
And here you have this older brother who probably never did anything wrong.
Well, I mean,
how weird would
that
be?
It's one thing to look up to your big brother, but then to actually go, yeah, he really never makes mistakes.
Always has the right answer.
Yeah. Always the good one.
Over in Isaiah 40. Was not Abraham, this is out of James 2, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited or reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called, I love this.
Me too.
He was called the friend of God.
I want that.
Well, and that's the gift of faith. I mean, mm-hmm. when we see God at work in and around us and we listen to his voice and we respond, we become friends of God. Mm-hmm. And that's the legacy of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the story of his life, but that idea that he had a friendship with God that was so personal and so real that resulted in the promises being fulfilled, mostly after he was dead.
Yeah.
One more thing just before we leave this. In John chapter 8, Jesus is interacting with the scribes and the Pharisees and says what he thought about Abraham. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. You're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forestream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we are finding hope at forestream.com.